Welcome into the show this afternoon. Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Ryan Porth, filling in for Jared Stillman this afternoon. He'll be back tomorrow alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd?
Sir.
How we doing on this Wednesday afternoon in Music City?
Outstanding.
You're always outstanding.
I am.
Every single time.
I'm good.
You're outstanding.
Good to go.
I like that.
Yeah.
You are outstanding 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Yeah. We, little buddy had, what is Yom Kippur today.
So he is
out, I understand, it's the Day of Atonement or something. Is that right, Ian?
So that is correct.
That means he will need at least one additional day. Because he's got a lot to atone
for. So what you're saying is I should plan on being in here tomorrow
as
well.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Well, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about on today's show. Later on this hour, Mike Vrabel and Marcus Mariota will be addressing the media. And we have no idea whether Marcus Mariota has been a full participant, limited participant, or not a participant at all at Titans practice today. We will find out sometime this hour, and we will carry the press conferences for both Marcus and Coach Vrabel when they step to the podium. But keeping with the Titans theme, Floyd, this Sunday, Titans-Jags. I've heard you this week with Jared and the fact that you kind of hope that it's labeled as Jacksonville week in that building, right? Kind of like what it was with Pittsburgh week between the Titans and the Steelers. And this rivalry between the Titans and the Jaguars – seems to be reigniting over the last couple of years. Last year, two big matchups, including the Week 17 game when the Titans beat the Jags to clinch a playoff spot, and then there were some war of words in the media between Jarrell Casey and Malik Jackson, and a lot of people thought that the Titans and the Jags coming into the season were the two best teams in the AFC South.
Yeah, this rivalry goes back years and years. You know, when we first started, when they first got in the league and became part of our division, of course, they were a really, really good team, and we were a pretty decent team. And so, you know, for a long time there, we probably, between Jacksonville and ourselves, one or the other or both, had maybe the two best records in the AFC. So, you know, we were kind of going back and forth, and then it kind of calmed there for a year or two, and now it's really picking back up.
You know,
it's picked back up for a while.
Well, I would say it calmed for more than just a year or two. I mean, we're probably talking about 5, 6, 7 years where neither team was good.
Right.
And when neither team is good and there's not that historic rivalry like Vikings-Packers or Bears-Packers or Redskins-Cowboys, it's hard to keep that rivalry going and that animosity when you're on the field. I mean, the biggest thing we had to look forward to between the Titans and the Jaguars for years was Color Rush Night, where you had the Smurfs on one end and the peanut butter jerseys on the other end with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And it would always be on Thursday night.
It would be a Thursday night crap game every time. And now the Thursday night games between the Titans and the Jags, and there's one here in this city in December when the Jacksonville Jaguars come here, that hopefully is a big game. We would hope so.
I fully expect it to be. I mean, this game is going to be big, I think, simply because they're playing so well, and, you know, we finally got a win under our belt, and they are a division opponent, and we talked about that last week, how important it is to have those division wins. So
now, this Sunday, when the Titans go down to Jacksonville, noon start on CBS, does this game mean more to Jacksonville or Tennessee, in your opinion?
From a what a win will do for you kind of thing?
Just, I guess you could say that, and just in general.
Yeah, I think it means more to us. I mean,
really?
Right now.
Okay, why?
Simply because we needed to get back on pace with them. You know, they're sitting at 2-0, and I mean, arguably, I think I saw ESPN power ratings this morning, and Jaguars were number one. So they're arguably the best team in the league. And if they are, and we want to compete within our division with that team, then, you know, we need to go out and find a way to win a game like this.
I hear what you're saying on why this game would mean more to the Titans, but I actually think this game matters more to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Because
the Tennessee Titans beat them twice last year. And this rivalry is now coming back to life. And we saw last week the Jaguars, it was a redemption game against the New England Patriots for how they lost and how they blew it in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship.
Right.
And you could tell the Jaguars had a chip on their shoulder. They were playing with a swagger. They definitely had a lot more oomph to their game than the New England Patriots had.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, without
a doubt. Just felt like a redemption game. Like they were trying to get payback for what happened in January. Well, wouldn't they have a lot of the same mindset with the Tennessee Titans? I mean, they want to protect their home turf. If they win this game, they get a big leg up in the division already on the Tennessee Titans. And Houston's 0-2, Indy's 1-1, the Titans are 1-1. If Jacksonville beats the Titans, they're 3-0, and the Titans are 1-2. That would give them a big leg up moving forward, because in week 4, Jacksonville hosts the New York Jets, which good luck to Sam Darnold, a rookie, going down into Jacksonville in that environment. And then the Titans play the Eagles with Carson Wentz back under center.
Does their schedule get any harder down the line for Jacksonville? They're going to skate through all these games. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and it's hard to disagree with that. I just look at it from right now. I'm looking at it from a division standpoint.
Yeah,
you know, they're sitting on top undefeated, and they're saying to themselves, you know what? I mean, we'd really, really like to win this game, go 3-0, and we'd have a, you know, probably a 2-game lead on everybody and be in good shape. But if it doesn't work out, we'll play them again. And we'll spank them then.
Right. And I think the way you're looking at it is the Titans need a win in this game more than the Jacksonville need to win.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I would agree.
Because if they go 1-2 and then they bring, you know, they host Philadelphia down here in a couple weeks, Carson Wentz is healthy. If Marcus Mariota isn't healthy, then the Titans could be looking at a 1-3 hole.
Right.
And I don't know if this team is good enough to dig out of a 1-3 hole. Yeah. Whereas if they win this game, they're 2-1, then maybe they don't beat Philly. They're 2-2 going into the Buffalo game to start October, and that's not the end of the world. 1-3 could be a hole that they cannot dig out of. Could be.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly don't want to be 1-3. But I think given that, I think probably the beginning of the year, a lot of people thought we're looking at 1-3 here. You know, I mean, we were hoping not to go 0-4.
Just well, yeah.
You know,
my hope was just 2-2. Survive the first month 2-2.
I mean, if you can do that, you're going to be in great shape.
And if Marcus Mariota can come back healthy and be fine after this injury, then I think you're looking pretty good at maybe a wild card spot if you're 2-2 going into October, right?
Oh yeah, you'll be strong then.
But I guess my point on this Sunday, I think this game means more to Jacksonville.
From an emotional standpoint.
From an emotional standpoint. I think you're looking at it from a win-loss standpoint.
Yeah.
From an emotional standpoint, I think Jacksonville wants to prove something. They want to send a statement to the Titans that for a second year in a row, early in the year, you're not going to come down into our house and push us around. Like the Titans did last September, they went down to Jacksonville and pushed them around.
Oh, that was a great win.
It was a dominant performance.
Great win.
That was not the Jacksonville team that we saw for the rest of the season.
No. And I think, to be honest, I'm kind of hoping after last week, maybe they won't be the Jacksonville team that we saw last week.
Well,
we're going to find out.
I mean, could they have a letdown?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they put all their chips in the New England basket because that was the AFC Championship.
Oh, yeah.
There is a big difference between the AFC Championship and two regular season games. However, they were two division games against your rival.
And they have, like you said, I think they needed, in their minds, they needed to win that game to kind of prove to themselves, hey, you know what? They're maybe the best team. They are the best team prior to that game in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thumped them, you know. So where are we? That makes us pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Be interesting.
At some point this hour, we will hear from Mike Vrabel and Marcus Mariota. We are awaiting them to step at the podium at the end of practice. But coming up next, we'll continue the Jacksonville Jaguars talk as the Titans take on the Jags this weekend. Is Jacksonville definitively the best team in the AFC? We'll continue that next. He's Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. What's up, Fitzy? This is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. It is NFL pregame live from Nashville Underground, downtown on Broadway, this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. featuring Jared, Floyd, and former Titans wideout Chris Sanders. All brought to you by Bota Box Wine, Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Tate Granite, a division of Tate Ornamental. Floyd, I was not at Nashville Underground on Sunday.
Oh, you missed it.
Well, here's the thing. I had to go drop off some stuff at Nashville Underground. My girlfriend was not feeling great Sunday. She was really sick, so I just thought I'd run down and drop stuff off and then go back. So I'm at the corner of 4th and Broadway, and I look up, and I can see you, Jared, and Chris
really?
On the rooftop of Nashville Underground as I'm listening to you. I thought that was pretty cool.
It was. I'll tell you what, they do a great job there. I mean, there were a lot of people, both Texans and Titans, but ended up with a lot of Titans. I mean, people had a good time. I mean, they came up and talked to us, chatted a little bit. I mean, it was really, really pleasant.
Absolutely. So make sure to stop by Nashville Underground to catch all the pregame action with the guys from 9:30 to 11:30, and then stay and hang out. I'm going to be there Sunday. No, I'm sure everybody wants to come watch the Titans and the Jags with me, right?
Absolutely.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Speaking of the Jaguars, Mike Vrabel was on Monday Night Live News 2 with Mike Keith, and he talked about what he was most impressed with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Titans' next opponent, Jacksonville, a winner 31-20 over New England. What impressed you about the Jags' victory yesterday?
They came out ready to go. Their crowd was into it, and they really kept the pressure on New England throughout the entire game. I mean, they got up early, and they kept it on them. And when New England and Tom looked like they were trying to make a run, they were able to make some plays. And then watching the end of that game, they were not content with just running a couple run plays and punting it back. They were looking to throw the football and really ice it and take things into their hands and really do it themselves, as opposed to hoping that Tom didn't make a play. They stayed aggressive.
That was Mike Vrabel on Monday Night Live on News 2. His thoughts on the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's obviously impressed, Floyd, mm-hmm. with Jacksonville. A lot of people have been impressed with Jacksonville, mostly because of that Week 2 win on Sunday mm-hmm. against the New England Patriots and how they beat them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I was so impressed with, and I saw most of the game, was how good the team was. You know, I kept looking at it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, where's a weakness in this group? Because Bortles played lights out now. Bortles played the best game.
He was
game.
Really stinking good.
Oh, I mean, it may be the best game I've ever seen him play. But he was just confident and effective, and the group of receivers who are just like, you know, a bunch of guys, I mean, just played lights out. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, the running back is not playing, so there's a weakness, but he'll be back for us, so there goes that weakness. So then I start looking at the offensive line. I mean, they lose their left tackle. They've got Wells, I think, is going to come in and play left tackle. So if there's a weakness, it's there, because the rest of them are really good.
And they don't have many weaknesses at all. That might be the one big weakness.
Yeah.
The Titans have got to expose that on Sunday.
Yeah. Tight end came out, played well. Receivers played well. And, of course, the defense, we know, I mean, they've got more speed on defense than any team I've seen for a while. And it's not the defensive front, the linemen can run okay, but from linebackers and secondary, I'm going to tell you what now, they can book it. I mean, they are fast. As
yes.
soon as that ball, you think you're going to hit it and bounce outside and get the corner, you get the hit and the bounce part, but you don't get the corner part now.
Well, you mentioned how not having Leonard Fournette was a weakness, but they still had T.J. Yeldon. And this Corey Grant kid, this
yeah.
little Darren Sproles lookalike,
yeah.
he looks like he can be an X factor in that offense and be a good check down option for Blake Bortles moving forward. And you mentioned how Blake Bortles was really good. I would totally agree, but they didn't win because of Blake Bortles. They won because their entire team showed up and brought their A-hammer.
Oh, they played. And like I said, when it's all said and done and you're analyzing it and you're thinking, okay, now they just played New England, and you know, Jared likes to always say, well, this is New England's letdown, and he could be right, but I didn't look at it and say New England really played bad. I looked at it and said, Jacksonville dominated them.
Outside of one throw by Blake Bortles where it was a boneheaded throw that ended up being a pick, from start to finish, Jacksonville was the better team in that game.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, they showed on Sunday they are the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't know who you would – the Rams – I mean,
well,
you
they're
would have
NFC.
To,
yeah. So,
I was just thinking about the league, you know, as far as the league.
Vikings
and
have
you'd
to be up
say,
there.
Yeah, probably the Vikings and Rams. I mean, there'll be two or three, but I mean, they're right now the best in the AFC and certainly among the top two or three in the league.
I mean, I would have Jacksonville at number one in the AFC. Probably New England number two because they will find their way out of it, right?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I mean, I know they have a lot of question marks, but they don't have Julian Edelman. They just added Josh Gordon, which I don't think there's much downside to that move.
No.
Like, they only gave up a fifth-round pick.
And they got a seventh back, you know, so it's they even got something back. So, you know, he'll either walk in the doors, and as New England has a tendency to do with the guy, these troubled free agents, they bring him in and they fix him. Or you turn right around and walk right back out the door because, you know, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. And if you want to stay here and play great, we'll find a place for you. We'll end up making you a lot of money. But if you don't want to play the way we want you to play, then you got to go now. So. Yep.
This is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Ruiz. Floyd, when you look at the rest of the AFC, Jacksonville and New England, I think, are the two best teams.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to put money down, I think we saw an AFC championship preview on Sunday.
Probably.
However, Kansas City is creeping into that conversation. I don't care how bad their defense is. That offense is a video game offense, and I don't know if anybody can slow that down.
And I think the thing you have to be concerned about is with the young quarterback and he's not a rookie. I mean, he's a second-year guy, but this is really the first year for him to play, is can he keep up this pace? Because their defense is really not very good. And if you're a decent team and you go in to play them, you can say, okay, here are the two things that we have to do to have a chance to win this game, which is we've got to take away the receiver and we got to take away the tight end for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now the rest of it, I'm not worried about right now.
However, by the time other defenses start to figure out Pat Mahomes and slow him down maybe, keep him in check, maybe Eric Berry is back defensively for Kansas City and gives them a shot in the arm on defense.
Yeah, because their defense is not very good. I think their defense may be ranked 32nd in the league.
It's not good.
It's a little bit shaky. And it's too bad because – and I'm not second-guessing anything Andy does. I think Andy is really a good coach, but – you know, they've got Peters, and they let him go. And, you know, Barry is, I don't know if he's injured or sick again, you know, whatever. He's had a tough time staying on the field. So they've got some guys that were pretty good players that just aren't there right now.
Right.
So you start making those holes like that, it's hard to fill them.
But I don't think any other team in the AFC can make the claim that they are the best team in the conference, right? I mean, Jacksonville, we both agree, is number one, right?
Yes.
And then behind them is New England and Kansas City. Yes. And I think you can make a case, New England on track record, Chiefs because of the offense. But there's nobody else in the conference that can make a claim that they are the best in the AFC.
No, not right now. Now, Pittsburgh would try, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, they can't get out of their own way.
I don't know who else it would be.
I mean, everybody was high on the LA Chargers coming into the year.
Yeah, they've struggled.
I haven't been totally impressed by them.
They can't get out of the box. I mean, every year, it's just like we're talking about. Every year they go into a 0-3, 0-4 hole, and then at the end of the year they're playing lights out. But yeah, but they can't make up for that hole.
But back to Jacksonville, the fact that they're the number one team in the AFC, and a lot of people feel that way. That really has me worried for Sunday.
And rightfully so.
I tweeted this out Sunday, late afternoon, as that game was going on. And I was pumped up that they won against Houston, the Titans. I was, you know, when the clock hit zeros and the game was over, I was excited. And then I'm watching that Jacksonville game. And I'm like, ooh, boy.
Uh-oh.
This game in a week. I worry what could happen to the Titans, especially if Blaine Gabbert's in at quarterback.
Yeah.
And especially if Taylor Lewan's not back, especially if Jack Conklin's not back.
Well, I keep thinking, and I agree with you 1,000%. I keep thinking, you know, Marcus is going to be back. Taylor's going to be back. At least Kelly's going to be back. So,
true.
We're, you know, we're going to be as good as we can be there. And Bortles just cannot play again like he played last week. Those receivers can't play that way again like they did last week.
You mean Keelan Cole isn't going to make an Odell Beckham-type catch again?
Is that
again?
Unbelievable?
I thought that catch was more impressive than Odell's.
And didn't he break stride? You know, just reached up, plucked it, pulled it right in like it was nothing.
He's an impressive receiver. Wow. They have some impressive individuals on that team, and they play like a team. Like you put all, like you said, the team speed, you put that together with all the talent that they have defensively and these young weapons offensively. I mean, all Blake Bortles has to do is not lose them the game.
And I think, you know, I think when they had Fournette, that was kind of their philosophy. Okay, we're going to turn around. We're going to give it to this big running back, you know, about 25, 28 times a game. He's going to gain about 130 yards, and we're going to play action pass off of that. You got to complete a few here and a few there, but don't throw it to the other team. Don't get carried away with yourself. That's why this game was so impressive. The game with New England was so impressive. Because he did get carried away with himself. I mean, he threw, what did you say, 54 passes or something? Or 40, whatever, a ton of passes. And I'm thinking to myself, because he was backing up when they're ahead by 14, and he's still throwing the ball way downfield.
Yeah.
I'm going, easy now. What are you doing? They were throwing them and completing them. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, it's almost like they learned the lesson from the AFC Championship game when they took the foot off the gas.
Accelerator, yeah, maybe the case.
So maybe they weren't going to take the foot off the accelerator in that game.
Well,
and that goes back to the redemption factor that they wanted that game so bad.
I think if we can just let them settle back down to earth, and we get some of these guys back, you know, it's maybe we'll make a game of it.
I think the best chance for the Titans Sunday is that there's a letdown factor from Jacksonville. Yeah. If they're not taking the game as serious or having as big of a chip on their shoulder playing the Titans, the team that beat them twice last year, regular season, as I'm thinking they will. I think that's the Titans' best chance in this game. Coming up next, Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Ryan Porth in for the not for the GM. I'm sitting next to the GM. In for Jared Stillman this afternoon. Jared will be back tomorrow alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Coming up next, we hope to hear from Marcus Mariota or Mike Vrabel after Titans practice. Hopefully we can get a status update here soon on the quarterback who did not play Sunday against the Houston Texans. I'm Ryan Porth. He's Floyd Reese. This is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet, it is Jared and the GM. I'm Ryan Porth, filling in for Jared Stillman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. We're bringing you Nashville's best college football preview show at Saturday Tailgate with Nick Cale and Julian Council every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Mafiosa's Pizzeria in Franklin.
Those guys can talk some college ball now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they talk it.
I've been tuning in.
Listen fast.
Just about every Saturday so far in the college football season, they know their stuff.
Oh, yeah, they
do. So tune in to Saturday Tailgate every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 to get the lowdown on college football. So we're awaiting Marcus Mariota and Mike Vrabel to address the media over at St. Thomas Sports Park after practice today. We still have no idea who was on the field for practice, who was limited, who was not a participant at all. So we look forward to getting some details there. Now, Floyd, there were some tweets before practice when the locker room was open to the media where Taylor Lewan was wearing shoulder pads before practice. So that is a good sign.
Sure.
After he missed Sunday's game against Houston with the concussion that he suffered in Miami.
Yeah, what he'll have to do before he gets cleared is and I act like I know this. I kind of remember it. I don't know exact verbatim, but he'll have to go out and exercise, you know, practice, break a sweat, do some things, get huffing and puffing, and then we'll come back in at a point in time, and they'll retest him. And if there are no headaches or blurred vision or, you know, there's nothing wrong, then I think he'll probably be okay.
So that would be a huge addition to the offensive line for Sunday against that front of Jacksonville that is absolutely loaded.
Yeah.
That would be huge. And now the Titans are tweeting out that Jack Conklin was at practice today.
Oh,
which,
good.
Who knows if he's going to play Sunday? Maybe we'll get more of a concrete answer from Mike Vrabel when he meets the media this afternoon. But Jack Conklin, who tore his ACL back in the divisional round in New England in January, he was taken off the PUP list before the regular season, which meant the Titans were confident that he could return in the first six games and not miss the first six games. Here's my thought on that, though. Do you bring him back for his first game against Jacksonville? I know it's an important game. I might be overlooking it or overthinking it completely, but if there is one sliver of a doubt if he's 100% and you're going up against Jacksonville, is that more of a reason to put him in because it is Jacksonville and get him back in there and protect either Gabbard or Mariota as well as possible, or give him another week and make sure that he's full go next week against Philly?
You know what? This would be a doctor's decision in my mind. And I'd sit down with the doctors and I'd say, okay, is there a higher percentage chance he re-injures that knee if he practices and plays this week? And if they say, no, it won't be any harder than any other knee, any other place, then I'd say, okay, fine, let him play. Now, I would really worry about his conditioning. And so I don't think it would be possible to put him in for a whole game. I think you'd have to go back and forth and move him around a little bit and sit him a little bit and, you know, do some of those kinds of things. Simply because we know it's going to be Jacksonville. We know who he's going against. It's going to be hot, and I don't know how much he's done and what kind of shape he's in, but he's certainly not in football shape. So I think I would approach that part of it slowly.
So more news trickling out from practice. Travis Haney of The Athletic saying Marcus Mariota did not appear to be limited, but still hit and miss on throws beyond 10 to 15 yards in the open portion of practice today. So it sounds like Marcus Mariota was a participant in practice, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
But can he complete the necessary passes where you can trust him to be your starter on Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, and the truth is, I mean, he was full participant last Wednesday, and it didn't mean much, you know, when it was all said and done. So I think if he was a full participant today, that's great. Good sign. Let's see what happens tomorrow, you know, when he comes in.
Teron Davenport of ESPN.com says Taylor Lewan and safety Kendrick Lewis returned to practice, as did Jack Conklin, did not see Dennis Kelly.
Well, I wonder what he's got something. I wonder if he's got, I don't know. They call it a virus first. You know, I was thinking maybe he had the flu or something like that. But
yeah,
sounds like it must be something a little bit more.
So it sounds like Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin and Marcus Mariota are getting closer. We're still waiting to hear from Marcus Mariota and Mike Vrabel after practice today. Maybe we'll hear something a little bit more definitive. But the early reports on Twitter in terms of the open portion of practice make it sound like those three key guys, Lewan, Conklin, and Mariota, are on the mend and getting closer, which – look, if they're all 100%, put them in there.
Right.
I'm the most cautious with Jack Conklin because of the torn ACL.
Yeah.
And which knee it was. It was the right knee. And as a right tackle, that's...
yeah, your kick leg.
That's your kick leg.
Yeah.
So, and you're facing the Jacksonville front.
Yeah. And they get upfield pretty quick. So if you're a half a second slow, it's a sack. So...
right.
I don't, you know, if they, again, with Jack, for me, it'd be a doctor's thing. And even if the doctor said he could play, I'd tell my offensive line coach, now we need to alternate this. If you want to put him in on third downs or you want to put him on first downs, you know, either way, that's fine. But, you know, let's not plan on him going out there playing 50, 60 snaps because that would be a disservice to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, how big would it be for the Titans to get Taylor Lewan back on that offensive line in place of Kevin Pamphiel, who, look, Kevin Pamphiel and Tyler Merritt on Sunday, yeoman's work for the people that they were replacing.
Yep.
But to get Taylor Lewan back on that offensive line where Jacksonville has lost their left tackle mm-hmm. and Cam Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, I think that – and it's not – he'll play better than, you know, anybody else we have because he's our best offensive lineman. I think we all know that. And so that will definitely help, no doubt about it. But I think what it does for you mentally and emotionally, you know, especially after last week, you spent all that time thinking, geez, we don't have the quarterback, we don't have a tackle, we don't have the other tackle, we don't, you know, we're missing the tight end. I mean, that whole week, you spent all week going, oh, no, here goes another one. Well, imagine just the opposite. You know, all of a sudden, geez, we got a tackle back. Oh, we got both tackles back, and we got the quarterback back. All right, let's go to war.
Mm-hmm.
So
it also appears that Marcus Mariota was wearing a glove today on the throwing hand. What do you make of that? What do you make of the fact that it's an elbow injury, it sounds like, but what do you make of the fact that he's wearing a glove?
I don't, you know, it has to do with
that nerve.
Ulnar nerve. Yeah. And again, I don't know if it's tingling. I don't know if it's numbness. I don't know which fingers, thumb. I just don't know what it is. But I'm sure the glove gives him some kind of comfort. I can't imagine. I don't know that he's ever worn a glove because it is on his throwing hand. But I can't imagine that it would be comfortable. No, it's just me.
Especially when you're not used to it.
Yeah, if you've never worn one, and all of a sudden you start wearing one, especially down there, because that glove's going to get wet. You're going to be sweating. It's going to get slick. You know, when do you change them? What are you going
to
do?
All right, let's go live to St. Thomas Sports Park where Marcus Mariota is Vrabel. Mike Vrabel is addressing the media.
How is your quarterback doing today?
I'd say about the same.
At this point, you just prep both quarterbacks and be prepared for whatever happens through the next few days?
Yep, I think that's all you can do is make sure that getting guys ready that could play in the game for anything that may come up. And then have to make a decision that, you know, is in the best interest of the team later in the week.
How do you divvy up the reps?
Try to split them, you know, the best that you can. You know, try to give the one, you know, the reps that you think one guy needs as opposed to what the other guy needs. Did you get popped in the eye? I need to meet the guy.
Doing some individual work today.
Yeah.
Is that a sign that he's making progress?
He told me I lost a step. I'm like, no kidding. I'm 43 years old. Like, if you can't block me, we're in trouble against Ngakoue. What? It was good. You know, I mean, I think he's close. You know, he just still has to get that last, I guess, clearance from the outside doctor, which hopefully will come tomorrow. And then, you know, we can move forward. But it was good to get him out there and doing some stuff today.
Jack getting closer as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Jack did some stuff and took some reps. You know, both those guys were limited today, so that'd be great to get as many guys back as we possibly could.
And then I guess Kendrick, it's been a while since Kendrick Lewis has been out there, so today, how much of an aid is that to the depth?
It is, and he's a great pro. You know, he's a guy that understands when he's not in there that he's studying, he's paying attention, he's learning the game plan, so that when he gets back, he's ready to go. And he can contribute and help us out. He's also been, you know, diligent in his rehab, making sure that he's doing everything he can to get back as quickly as he possibly can.
Is Dennis back around? And
Dennis is not yet with us. He is out of the hospital, but he's not in the building with us right now. I anticipate that happening later in the week.
Is there a chance for him on Sunday?
Possibly. You know, we got to get him here to work first, and then make sure that the doctors clear him. And then once they clear him, then we'll evaluate where he's at.
I know you have to prepare for both situations, whether Fournette plays or doesn't play, but they're pretty successful even when they don't have him in the lineup. What's the dynamic change for their offense when he isn't available to them?
Well, I mean, I think that you know, we're going to have to stop the run regardless of who's in there. They got three good backs, and you could throw the quarterback in there as well. I mean, he's got 77 yards on 10 carries. It's pretty good average right now. First two games, the dynamic is, you know, we're going to have to stop the run. And so making sure that we do that, they came out in multiple personnel groups against the Giants that we'll have to be ready for. New England, they felt that the game plan was best played in 11 personnel. Whatever decision they made, it was the right one. They looked good and gained a bunch of yards.
How much is the infusion of
youth in the pass rush with Correa and Harold kind of exactly what you guys need?
Well, we always need, you know, young players to play well and contribute. It's the nature of this business, I think, now is you get guys in here and you have to play them. Everybody on our roster that's active on the game has to play and contribute. It's early in the season. It's warm. And whether that be in pass rush or coverage. So I think that anytime we get those guys in there that can help us and spell some guys, back them up, or start in a certain package, that's great.
When you look at their defense, the front end, the back end strong, Telvin Smith is a solid linebacker. Is there an area where you could really target to attack?
Well, I mean, I think that we have to appreciate their talent, but, you know, we got to go out and play the game. They got good players across the board. You know, we have good players. And so we'll respect everybody that we play. And we're in a preparation now to get ready to take those guys on. Like you said, they have guys that that can make plays in all three areas of their defense, up front, guys with different skill sets. Got some big guys. I got some guys that disrupt. I got guys that can run in the middle. And then on the back end, they got guys with good length and good playmaking ability.
What did you see from the two matchups with this team, with the two teams last year? Do you look back at those games last year and compare to this one?
Yeah, I think we look back at a lot of things. I think we look at things that worked and things that we did well defensively that we have to continue to do. Things that we maybe if we gave up a play, we'll have to make sure that, you know, we're conscious of the players that they're going to. If there are guys that showed up in those games against us, you know, matchups maybe that occurred between our guys and their guys, you know, one-on-one matchups. This game comes down to one-on-one matchups. How certain guys did against certain players will be critical.
You said last night that you needed kind of to monitor the volume for Taiwan, which sounded like it maybe was saying that you can't take it all in at once or in certain planes. Can you expound on that?
Well, there's a lot of positions. You know, I mean, you just can't go out there and line up at a position. You can, but then it becomes limited. And so the more that you have the ability to move guys around from a receiver and you can line up at maybe Z, can line up on at X and line up in different positions, then you can do different things with them. And so we just have to be careful how much we're overloading each specific player. And if a player can handle a lot of different spots, then that's what we can do. And if we can't, then we have to make sure that what we're asking him to do, he's fully understanding of the concepts, what's being asked of him, so that he can play fast and aggressive and can help us out.
Somebody you got to be careful with?
Well, I think there's a few guys. There's a lot of guys like that. You know, I mean, there's only, you know, so many guys. And I would use, you know, like Will Compton probably knows every position on our defense, from the defensive line to the back end. And that's rare. And so, you know, want to make sure that when Taiwan goes out there, he's fully aware of what his job is so that he can play as fast as possible, help us, and not have to worry and do too much thinking.
Some things from Blaine Gabbert that make you say, hey, that guy was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, he made some good throws in the game and, you know, got rid of the ball. So it was good. I mean, it was great to see. I mean, we needed it. We needed that throw. We needed the boot. We needed that third-down conversion, a great pass on the third-down conversion. Came out. We had great protection in the middle of the pocket. Tajay made a great catch. And so that was good to see. You know, and then Blaine made the boot. And so he made some throws for us that helped us win the game.
Arm strength, fair to say, still one of his biggest assets.
I think, yeah. You know, I mean, I think that there's times where he could probably pull a little steam off of it, but, you know, I don't think there's a, you know, issue with arm strength.
All right, that was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel over at St. Thomas Sports Park. To recap the big news from that gathering, Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin were both limited today with their injuries. Lewan the concussion, Jack Conklin still coming back from his torn ACL suffered in January, and then Marcus Mariota was about the same as he has been, according to Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
So we will react to everything that Mike Vrabel had to say after the break and hopefully hear from Marcus Mariota as well. I'm Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. This is Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Just heard from Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, last segment after practice today. Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin were both limited. Mike Vrabel said Taylor Lewan is close. He still needs last clearance from his concussion and that Jack Conklin took reps. Both were limited today but are getting closer to coming back, and he also said quarterback Marcus Mariota is, quote, about the same. There was also no Dennis Kelly at practice. With Marcus, does it concern you, Floyd, that Marcus Mariota was, quote, about the same, end quote, as he has been in the last week or two?
You know, I keep thinking it's going to be the opposite of last week, and we're going to start a little bit today and get better and work our way up. If it doesn't improve from this point on and we're going into the third game and he's going to miss the third game, then it's a concern. I mean, I don't care what they say. It's just suicide for us to keep going into these games with one quarterback.
You can't have your franchise quarterback being week to week with an injury like this.
No.
On an injury and how he suffered the injury.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's – And I don't know what the injury is at all. I mean, all the years in the league, I don't think I've ever seen this one. So I don't know what it means. We've had guys that, you know, get hit and get what they used to call stingers, you know, and you'd have a shoulder or an arm or whatever it was go dead. But, you know, they would take a minute or two and shake it around a little bit, and it would come alive, I guess. You know, the blood would go back in or the nerve would calm down or whatever happened. With this, I don't know. And I don't know if it's because of the severity. I don't know if it's because of the nerve. I don't know if it's because it's on his throwing hand so that he notices it much more than anything else. I don't know. You know, I just don't know that much about it.
And he was wearing a glove at practice today. And according to Travis Haney of The Athletic on Twitter, he was still having trouble completing passes more than 10 to 15 yards, which if that doesn't improve before Sunday, I can't trust him to go out there and win them the game at Jacksonville.
No, I mean, I agree. If that's all he can do, I mean, we'll be in trouble again. I'm not taking anything away from Blaine. I'm more concerned about the fact that, you know, you're going into the game with one quarterback. Because it's
what is that all about?
I have no clue.
Like,
they have to know something that we don't know. I mean, they have to. Otherwise, I can't believe you would run this risk again.
Like, what's your plan B if Blaine Gabbert starts Sunday and goes down, and you can't trust Marcus Mariota to throw a pass down to past the first down sticks?
I mean, it's you're taking your guy that's your franchise quarterback, put him in a situation where they know he can't throw. And so what are you going to do? I mean, they'll be coming off the ball every snap. He'll look like a pinata, you know, getting bounced around. So I don't know. I just don't understand it.
I want to get into Marcus Mariota more after the break. And if you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. Marcus Mariota, quote, about the same as he has been, according to head coach Mike Vrabel after practice today. We hope to hear from Marcus Mariota at some point. But if you want to weigh in on Marcus Mariota, 615-737-1025, I'm getting pretty sick of this. Talking about Marcus Mariota's injuries and his health as opposed to the on-the-field play. And we'll expand upon that after the break. Join Jared and the GM every Friday at 5:45 as they select their picks on six big games in both college and pro football. Floyd, this is all brought to you by Pourvu. It's your one-stop shop for all your wine, spirits, beer, mixers, barware, party supplies, and more. Now, that is a shopping experience. I got to tell you and Jared, with your picks this year, I'm disappointed.
I've got it. You know what? Jared's dragging me down.
I was dragging
okay.
you down.
Yeah, I was okay. And the more time I spend with him, the dumber I get. So I'm blaming him.
You guys are 8-11 on the season. You are tied.
Pathetic.
Floyd Reese, you beat Jared by like 20 games last year. You beat Jared like a drum in six-pack picks last year.
I can't even get my way back to average.
And you guys are tied under 500. Tune in Friday at 5:45 to see if their picks will get them above 500. But coming up next, more on Marcus Mariota and the elbow and whatever is going on with Marcus Mariota. We'll get into all that next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app.